Hello, and welcome to the Atheist Podcast. If you want to have an open and honest discussion where your opinion will not be judged, you have come to the right place. I'm Jonathan, and we'll be discussing beliefs, non-beliefs, and any questions dealing with religions. My co-hosts are George, John, along with our intrepid producer, Robert. And we are the Atheist Podcast. All right. Well, John, since we don't have Jay here today, I guess we're going to try to just pass off verses between the two of us. So we're starting at Genesis 6 in the New American Bible. Do you want to start off, or do you want me to start off?
No, I'll start.
Okay.
Starting with 6:1. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is above. He also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came and the daughters of men, and they bore children of them. Those were the mighty men who were bold men of renown."
Now, the Nephilim, do you subscribe to these thought path that the Nephilim were actually human angel beings?
Because I don't know, I haven't really. It's not something that I've looked really deep into. I guess there's a lot of different opinions out there. Really, you know, bottom line, it's very theologically negligent. Negligible, so it's not something I feel very strongly to have to form a solid opinion. It's not something I die on the hill anyway.
Oh, yeah, it's not something I'm trying to nail you down on. It was just I was looking for your opinion. It's, you know, that is a prevailing theory out there that Nephilim, that's really hard to say, or, you know, like I said, angel human beings, which is really weird.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even understand how that could actually be a thing, since humans were made after angels and God and everything else. So I don't actually understand how that could actually be a big problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't know one way or the other.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like I said, I'm not trying to nail you down on. I was hoping maybe you would have a opinion on it. So now, 6:5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, "I will blot out man, whom I have created, from the face of the land. From man to animals, to the creeping things, to the birds of the sky. For I am sorry that I have made them." And that's an edit point, just because it's not going to make much sense if we don't do that.
You broke up. You're really choppy right there. Like, I only heard, like, every other word.
Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of thought was, edit points. And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was continually evil. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, "I will blot man out."
Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every
Why blot out everything else?
Well, it's he's sort of as a punishment for man's continual evil that he's gonna start it over. I mean, at some point, people have an irredeemable quality about them that they just aren't gonna turn around.
But what did the penguin do?
I don't know. I don't subscribe to a view that says that the creator cannot do with his creation whatever it is he wants to. So, for example, if you were to make a chair, a chair, a rocking chair, you can do whatever you want with it. Whether it's hurt you or whether it's comforted you or whatever it is you do, it's done or done nothing. You can chop it up and put it in the fire if you want. You made it; it's yours. As a creator, you have a certain authority over your creation.
But it says, and I will quote as soon as I figure it. And then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Of man. Now, the Lord is apparently omnipotent. Couldn't he just, like, snap his fingers and not hurt everything else and take out man?
I suppose, but what would be, what's the difference?
That'd be a lot. It'd be a heck of a lot easier, you know. It wouldn't have, you know.
Well, he created the easier compared to what? It's God. He's the Almighty. I don't know what it might be easier if we were in charge of doing that, but to God, there is. I don't think that easier or more difficult really applies.
Oh well, I would actually posit that there's a lot less suffering if he just snuffed out in the snap of a finger, snuffed out human life without them actually having to drown. That would be a heck of a lot better, in my opinion. And just for the we can only speak it from a human perspective. A lot less energy intensive to just, you know, snap them out of existence and we'll start over.
Yeah, but the energy intensive and easier and more efficient and things like that don't really apply when we're talking about God, because that's not really a factor. I suppose there might be less suffering, but then again, it says that these people were continually evil, you know. Seems like to their core, they didn't even have a good bone in their body. So, you know, I'm not opposed to the death penalty. I'm not opposed to, you know, even something like the electric chair, which I know a lot of people are. So, I don't see any moral liability to imposing judgment on people who are thoroughly evil.
Well, I actually do agree with you on that. But there's big holes whenever we start talking about everyone. Was the fetus in the mother's womb evil? Was the one-year-old evil? They certainly couldn't be evil at all times for every person. There's just no way to reconcile that. That's in my opinion, that's irrefutable. You just can't say that every person on the earth at all times had evil thoughts, because that's just not the way that it works.
At this point in world history, how many people do you think were on the earth?
Doesn't matter.
Well, I think it does, because
was a was. Well, was that one-year-old evil? Was that one-year-old evil?
Well, here, listen. We'll put it like this. Say you're out in the jungle on some expedition, and you're you get this huge cut or whatever on your arm, right around your elbow. It starts becoming gangrenous, and your arm starts rotting away. You're going to need to get that amputated, right? I mean, in order to save your life so it doesn't spread, is that right? Or at least...
In the context of what you're saying, right. Which means an arm, not a human life, yes.
Right. So your arm would need to be cut off probably above the presuming this happened on the elbow, it'd have to be cut off above the elbow, somewhere between that and the shoulder. Now, your hand is perfectly fully functional and working. You have no choice. You have these children who are going to be brought up in this community where everybody is, continually evil. Not only are you bringing harm to those children, even by having them, in there. Again, the Creator can do what He will, and I know you're a big supporter of God's omnipotence and His omniscience. That He knows that they're going to be growing up and committing even more evil themselves. So, in the end, it's still a reduction of evil.
I will actually go.
You can even argue that it's a good thing, to do something like that, because at that point you would be probably taking them into a salvation state, as opposed to letting them rebel to the point where they can't even be redeemed.
I would like to counterpoint to that is, instead of gathering up every two of every unclean animal, I know I'm skipping ahead, and every seven of every clean animal, why not collect every child that hasn't known sin, which I know that's a debatable point, why wouldn't you just gather up the children that haven't been indoctrinated into the life of sin, take them upon yourself? And you said that there are not that many people that haven't known sin. Why not do that instead? And then teach them the righteousness of God. I don't know.
Who would be undertaking that?
Well, apparently God, because God's saying, I'm going to kill everyone. Why not, He would know who is and is not within sin, even though all of us are within sin. Even at that point, why not just kill us all, everything, just wipe us all out?
So He did.
No, He didn't wipe us all out. Well, why didn't He take the kids? Certainly, like I said, the 1, 2, 3, 4-year-olds don't really understand what's going on. Why drown them?
Divine prerogative. He's setting aside a group of people. This also theologically stands as it's a typology. He ostensibly saves Noah. The world ends up being, through. I don't even remember where I'm going with this thought. I got some windows open. What it is we keep jumping ahead.
I know.
Right to the flood. So even in my head, I'm a little twisted around here. But again, bottom line, I think I would ascribe it to divine prerogative, that the Creator can do what He wants to with His own creation.
I'm going to be as polite as I can possibly be about this before we skip on to verse 11. You're saying that the divine creator can be as much of a butt as he wants to be with his own stuff.
Yeah, just like you can, just like I can. You could, things that you create, you could do whatever you want with them.
That's not necessarily true. I have three children that I help create, and I can't do everything that I want to do to them. Even those. So you're saying me making something like a wooden chair, I'm free to burn the wooden chair.
Right, or a piece of art, or if you built a house, you can do whatever you want with that. If you built a car, you and the way that you made your children is not the same. It's just not parallel to the way God owns everything. It's not the same for parallel.
I'm sorry, I just can't necessarily see it the same way that you do. Not that I'm actually going to like take my kids out and burn them, but you know, I did have a hand in creating my kids. Well, not necessarily a hand, but you know what I mean. Well, and just so the listeners do know, I don't intend on taking my kids out and burning them in the backyard. I kind of like them. They're kind of cool. Sometimes. And these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and, help me out, Japheth?
Japheth, probably.
Yeah, I think that's the way it's Japheth. And now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted in their way upon the earth. Any ideas about that? I don't really have any comments.
I think it's just a continuation of the thought before, is that it's that everybody was literally about as corrupt as they could possibly be.
I don't have any comments. It is what it is on that one. I'm going to pass it off to you because I read ahead and I know that I won't be able to read this without screwing it up.
All right, so I'll just go right to the end of the chapter.
Go ahead.
Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with runes and cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you will make it. The length of the ark is 300 cubits. The ark 300 cubits. Its breadth 50 cubits. Its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top and set the door of the ark inside of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Behold, I am bringing a flood of water upon the earth to destroy all the flesh which is the breath of life. From under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and I shall enter, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons, and your wife, and your sons' wives with you, and every living thing of all flesh you shall bring of every kind onto the ark, and keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, the animals after their kind, every creeping thing on the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible and gather it to yourself and shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did.
Now, I'm not going to get into the argument, which I'm sure you're used to, of the logistics of everything.
I've heard from both sides.
I've actually heard the one that I, if we were actually going to take into account the local flood, as you said, there was actual evidence that there could have possibly been during the ice ages a localized flood. If for our younger, what is it, our younger listeners, what is it, Ice Age 2? Have you ever watched that with your kids?
Yeah.
If our older listeners aren't aren't familiar with it, as the mini Ice Age started to come to an end, there was actually a blockage of water from the north that was held back by certain glaciers, and whenever it finally broke through, it floated or flooded the what we would call the cradle of Earth or cradle of humanity nowadays. It could be a throwback from that point. Am I far off from what you believe, John? In that particular setting, would you agree with that?
Yeah, for the most part. I think that also goes back to your question, your rhetorical question, what did the penguins do? Really, the only part of the world that would need to be restarted again is the inhabited Earth, which really isn't going to be all that much. So, had there been penguins at the South Pole, there is no need to destroy that. Some of this language in here, when we get to the actual flood story, a good argument could be made. It is merely a localized flood to what is inhabited. And that's going to be because the Hebrew language is so much smaller than English that you have words that, you know, mean something as small as like a little hill to a medium-sized mesa-type structure, or all the way up to some huge mountain like Mount Everest. So it's, you know, it's something that you really have to spend a lot of time in and have a little bit of knowledge, at least that kind of background knowledge into the language.
And I'm actually not, I'm not going to knock the, because we're on the same side, I guess, that there, it wasn't a global flood necessarily. It's one of those things that might have been ancestral memory that's been held over for generations and generations and generations. So, I'm not going to hold you down to the, because it's just, in my opinion, the global flood is just stupid. There's no way. It's impossible.
Well, I think there's a difference between global and worldwide. I know they sound very similar to us and the way that we might use those terms interchangeably, but...
Well, worldwide to a person at that time is actually pretty localized. So, I'm not going to hold you to or global flood. I'm just not going to do that. I'm too intelligent to actually do that to you.
Yeah, I don't have to defend a position I don't hold.
Yeah. Well, and that's...
I'm not worried about that.
Stalemate. We'll agree to we'll agree to agree.
Yeah, we can agree to agree on that.
Okay. So.
So do you want to go on to the seven, or do you want
to? I want to. Well, I actually do have something else I want to talk to you about, but before we do that, Kynes. Explain to me, Kynes. I know what it's supposed to be.
I don't know. I would say you probably don't need every species of horse or every
But where do we start with cats, with felines? Do we start with tigers? Do we start with house cats? Do we start with something in between? What the hell?
I really don't know. I don't know what was in the area at the time.
Well, I know that dogs actually started out in the Middle East. That's actually been proven. But I just... And I'm not trying to equate you to Ken Ham. He goes, you know, in the Ark, we didn't necessarily have every species of dog, every species of bird, every species of cat. We just had a kind. I don't understand, and I'm not asking you to defend or explain his particular worldview. I just don't understand. Okay, I understand there is a kind of cat. I understand there's a kind of dog. But it all kind of converges back to one, you know, common ancestor. You know, mammals are mammals are mammals. And we've talked about this before.
Is there a question in there?
What separates one kind from another? They're all mammals. There's all reptiles. What's the difference? I don't understand.
Well, again, I think the flood was probably local to the inhabited world. I don't think you end up losing every kind globally. So you really only need the kinds that are really where you're at. So if you have dogs and you have cats and you have oxen and cows and things like that, you really only need, you know, X amount of room for what you have on hand. You don't need, you know, legions of space to get corgis and dachshunds and whippets and greyhounds. So I don't think it's necessary because you're not losing everything.
And actually, I should just apologize because even though I started out saying that I'm not asking you to defend, you know, hardcore, you know, 6,000-year-old creationists like Ken Ham and that kind of thing, I guess I shouldn't have actually asked that question. So I will see the conversation that, yes, if it's local, then we shouldn't be talking about different kinds. So
either way, no, I mean, it certainly helps to have the discussion. It doesn't hurt. I mean, you can offer an opinion one way or the other, even if it's not something that you hold to.
Well, I just can't see, you know, like I said, you know, if you take the hardline fundamentalist 6,000-year-old creationist take on things, there's just no way. It just cannot happen.
Yeah, I would agree. Probably not. I mean, it's going to depend on the person and what they think was intended to be understood
and
by that particular passage.
And again, yes, I completely agree. And we were just talking about, you know, how did the penguins get all the way down to Antarctica? There's just no way. It's impossible for 6,000 years. For one, we couldn't see, we would see the bones. How did the kangaroos get down to Australia within 6,000 years? We would see bones.
Yeah. Well, it's not. I don't know. I guess it's not so theologically tied to much, that particular view.
I will grant that much. And on to stuff in the news. Ahmed Muhammad, thoughts?
Yeah, as it turns out, this kid isn't quite the social martyr that he was initially made out to be. There have been and stuff it into a briefcase. You know, you have that, the detail about how he was extremely uncooperative with the police and with the school. You have the fact that his sister was either expelled or suspended a couple of years ago for making bomb threats. Nobody seems to have heard from this this engineering or science or electrical teacher that he claims to have talked to. I haven't heard anything about this teacher coming forward to corroborate his story. Have you?
I have not, and that's actually pretty sad. And I didn't bring it up as a point of contention, and that's actually one of the things I was wondering about. Maybe you might have heard. I don't understand maybe if the engineering teacher is like, I'm not touching this stuff. I don't get it. I understand both sides, you know. Even as an atheist myself, I would never judge anyone for, and you know this, it's fun to have a back and forth, but if I were a teacher, I would never, ever bring any type of religion into my, what's the word, my judgment about a student's performance. Would never do that. I don't care if they were Christian, Hindu, Muslim, Jewish, it doesn't matter. I would never bring that into my particular judgment of a student. I would take each student as warranted for their performance in my class. It's just frustrating because we don't have enough information, in my opinion.
Well, certainly for the performance in the class, but you know, it's certainly relevant when you have issues of terrorism, because there really is only one religion that advocates and champions and supports and fosters terrorism. So I think while you being cautious is warranted, you certainly take each incident as an individual incident. But I don't think, especially with apparently this kid's father has been, I guess it's being reported that he's pretty outspoken about issues like this, so it will not surprise me to find out if indeed, you know, it is found out that this kid was really just trying to stir the pot, so to speak.
Well, one thing, actually two things, if the story was as it was. What, and I'm not asking you this, I'm bringing this as a point of conversation. If it was that suspicious of a package, number one, why wouldn't have the engineering teacher, and it's not up to debate, the engineering teacher has said to the school board, yes, I saw it. We haven't heard the individual, you know, whomever the engineer teacher is, it was said that yes, okay, yes, it was shown to the engineering teacher. If it was that big,
he's the only one. I haven't heard that anybody is corroborating.
The school has said that. No, the school has said that. Past that individual teacher. And again, I'm not trying to defend, or I don't give a brat's ass about whatever religion was. Why, whenever the English teacher, why wasn't the entire damn school, I'm sorry to get upset, why wasn't the entire damn school evacuated? Now, I'm not coming at this as an atheist. I'm going to appeal to you as a theist. Why in the hell wasn't that school evacuated at that moment? As soon as that teacher said, This is suspicious. Everybody out of the classroom. Everyone needs to get out. Why wasn't the teacher, the vice, or the principal, the vice principal, why weren't they all get the hell out of the classroom right now? That's really irritating to me. Because as a father, as a father, I don't care if it's suspicious. I want my kids, I would rather err on the side of caution that my kids were okay. I don't even care if someone took a cardboard box, set it on the principal's desk, and said, "This is a bomb. Get my kids out of that place." Cardboard box could be completely empty, but I want my kids out of that school.
Well, when you look at the thing, you can see that there really aren't, there aren't explosives in it. It is just a bunch of wires with a board, and apparently it was a countdown timer, not a clock.
I know this. Are you competent to be able to say what an explosive is and an explosive isn't? Shouldn't a bomb tech be able to explain what an explosive is and what an explosive isn't? That's my point.
Well, yeah.
I don't care, regardless of... I'm not trying to speak down to you on this issue. You don't know how ingenious bomb makers can be. There are plenty of opportunities whenever you look at the material that the guy had, and I'm not trying to say that he actually was trying to make a bomb or anything. There are so many avenues that you could do stuff with the things that he had. What you saw was a one or two-dimensional box, essentially. How much of that could have been aligned with any number of things? And we're actually retroactively looking at this, but someone that was proactively looking at this, trying to do something wrong, could have done something wrong. And I'm not trying to defend or offend the young man. At the moment when there is a bomb scare, you evacuate the school. Period.
So in your opinion, if somebody were to go up to the English teacher with a pencil and say, "This is a bomb, I'm going to blow up the school with this pencil," you're going to say evacuate the school because we don't know if the pencil is hollowed out with some sort of... And I realize that that's an extreme example, but what I'm getting at is that you don't cause and create huge amounts of panic when you look at the thing and it's falling apart and the thing is shoddily built. I mean, you could see that it was not a bomb. He didn't even claim it to be a bomb. He kept claiming that it was a clock. So it's not that he was saying that it was a bomb.
Two points to that.
I don't think
there's actually two points to that. For one, a school should be cleared via a phone call. "I have planted a bomb." Words. There's nothing absolutely, by definition, words. There's nothing substantiated with words. "I planted a bomb."
Right, yeah.
Would you not evacuate it?
Figure it out. No, of course you would. However, that was not the case here. He didn't Well, there was nobody making the claim that it was a bomb. Nobody made that claim except the administration saw that it looked suspicious and wanted to know why he brought it there.
Well,
nobody suspected it of being a bomb. They suspected it of being a hoax and this kid trying to create a scene. So nobody thought it was a bomb. Nobody even said, hey, this is probably a bomb. They saw that it was this crappy set of wires in this box that he claimed it to have made a clock. He was trying to cause a fuss, and they knew he was trying to cause a fuss. It was essentially a hoax. It was a hoax without even being called a hoax from the get-go.
Well, let's swap back to the engineering teacher, and I would really love to know what the heck he or she actually said. I think that's actually a sticking point for the both of us. We could, without fail, I can promise you, both of us would be able to reach an impasse if this engineering teacher, if he or she were and I don't doubt that this person was contacted. I mean, it seems reasonable enough that someone would want to show this person their, you know, project. Why? Oh goodness, we wouldn't be at an impasse if this person hadn't have actually or had would have actually come forward. And at this point, I actually don't think that this person will actually ever come forward, pro or con. I wouldn't.
Well, if they don't come forward, if they don't, it would be because the kid's story doesn't line up. Otherwise, this guy would have come out, and that would have been public. Or that would have been public from the first day I saw it. I told him such and such. I don't think it was anything more than this kid trying to scare the crap out of his school, out of the students and teachers, and then say, oh, you're just, you know, doing this because I'm brown and Muslim. That's really what it seemed like. The kid's trying to stir up some attention for himself.
Well, you're oversimplifying it a little bit because, well, actually with your last statement, I would say that whomever this teacher is, dude or girl, is put in a very, very hard spot because he or she they're damned if they do, if they're damned if they don't. They're going to be criticized by the right, they're going to be criticized by the left, because if they say, you know, yeah, I saw it, no big deal, they're going to, you know, the left or the right's going to say, no, you're wrong. And if they said, yeah, I thought something, but I didn't say anything, the left is going to say, well, why didn't you say something and stick up for the kid? Damned if you do, damned if you don't. And that's not...
There's really much more to it. However, you know, you had him. He was extremely uncooperative. His account of things, as soon as he was talking to the media, which he did very quickly, he lawyered up very quickly. He's made the talk show circuits. He's been on TV. The kid's capitalizing. I don't think you would get much criticism, you know, if the teacher comes out and clears the air, but I think there's a reason that hasn't happened. I don't think it's because they're worried about, you know, politics. I think it's because they're worried that this kid's story is going to fall apart even further, and you've already had all these people from, you know, Zuckerberg and the president and NASA and all these other people sort of fall in love with this kid and hold him up as some sort of a victim hero, that if this teacher were to come out now, it would completely expose the kid as a fraud, and our media isn't generally all about making people like them frauds.
Okay. I
can't disagree.
I know I can't. That's the reason why I'm like, okay. And you can't disagree with anything that I've said because we don't have the entire story. It's just one of those things that you're like, you can have your particular mindset about what's going on, but no one's going to actually ever have the full answers. And
well, I think it'll come out eventually. I don't think it's going
to. It's not. We're never going to hear the end of it. It's never going to. We're never going to hear it. All right. Now.
You could be right.
Now, going on to extremely current references, Pope Francis. And go. Thoughts.
What? Say that again?
I said, and Pope Francis, go.
I don't know. I don't really have much of an opinion. I think he's a little selective going down to Cuba and not really saying much about the conditions of the government and the people who live down there, but then he comes up here and tells us how horrible we are for making our citizens live in poverty, which is really considered extreme wealth everywhere else in the modern world. I think he speaks out of turn with a lot of issues.
I really don't have anything to say about it. I was just interested to see what you would actually say. Pope Frank, you know, he, what am I supposed to say? he is who he is, you know. I was hoping you might actually be a little bit more expansive, but, we'll go on to others.
Well, no. Sometimes I think he lets up on some of the wrong things sometimes, but being the head of the Catholic Church, I'm not Catholic, so I don't really have a lot invested in the Pope. He doesn't really have the same sort of power that some of maybe previous popes have had, so his influence is really localized to the Catholic Church. So there isn't really much that I need to be worried about with him.
Neither. I'm, you know, what am I supposed to say about it? Be good to one another. Good policy.
Good.
All right. One final little thing. Now, this just came out not, 6 hours, 7 hours ago. Boehner. He's resigning. Why is he resigning? Do you have any clue, any insight? I don't. I don't understand. Other than listening to him talk, which was kind of rambling and didn't answer anything. Any clue why he's going to give up the seat?
Nobody likes him. He's very weak. He doesn't have a strong backbone. You know, he was among those that said, put us in power and we'll stand up to the president. And the problem is that people want him to do that. And his excuse and McConnell's excuse is, well, if we put these bills on the table there, he's just going to veto it and he won't do anything with it. So, but, you know, that's not really their problem. They have options. They have ways of doing the things that they promised they were going to do, and he's decided to do more capitulating and deal making than confronting. and it's coming to a head. You know, also, he, I think he's, what, 13 terms? That's 26 years. Yeah.
25 years total. 15. 25 years total. 26, excuse me, 26.
So it should, yeah, it would be 26 if he finished his, finished his term. So he came in along the, back when Democrats and Republicans, as much as they bickered and argued, they were still civil. I don't think he's cut out for the political atmosphere that it's degenerated into, with a lot of name calling and a lot of, besmirching of character. So it's probably just one of those things where he doesn't need his baloney, and that's that. I mean, if it was me, I'd finish my term, but, you know, he's got somewhere to be, I guess.
Well, in the end, whenever just going off, and I don't mean to go off into a tangent, actually, I am. If you are actually diametrically opposed to what your party is doing, what you're leading to, why not give it up? Because that's the same thing, not again, not trying to go off to a tangent. If we were to put this situation into the Kim Davis debacle, I would just give up. Just, okay, fine. If this is what everybody's going to want, I'm not going to do it. And in my opinion, that's what's, in my opinion, on a much grander scale, of course. Okay, that, if this is what everyone wants, throwing my hands up, you guys play with your own ball. I'm going to go home.
Just say, you know, fine, I'm out of here. If I'm not doing it your way, then y'all can have it. Let the prisoners run the asylum. But, you know, it's one of those things where if you have principles and it's something that you're willing to fight for because you think it's the right thing, then to just jump ship when people aren't, singing your praise premature. I think if you have principles,
but he's actually been called out by his own party, the Republican Party, the Tea Party, which I know that's kind of a separate deal. He's been constantly been called out. At the end, how much BS can you take? I mean, I actually sympathize with the dude. I think he actually means well. But whenever he has the extreme right, the extreme right conservative, the extreme right Tea Party, calling him out for any time that he actually concedes with something, I'd be like, screw it. I've done the best that I can do. What else do you people want from me? It can't be one way or the other. It doesn't work that way. Our system does not, in fact, work one way or the other. It's kind of a middle road.
I can kind of see what you're saying. However, it wasn't the other members of Congress that elected him. It was the constituents of Ohio. And what he ought to be doing is their work.
Not as...
Him, he shouldn't be...
Not as the speaker.
No.
I don't know if it's actually it. I don't know if it's one or the other. I don't know if he can, and I'm not that deeply into the innards of politics. Can he actually resign the speakership and still be a senator? I don't know.
Of course you can. Speaker of the House is an internally elected position. It's basically that's the guy who's going to run procedures and who gets to choose the procedures, the rules, what's going to get voted on, he could step down as Speaker and maintain his seat.
Now, would he? Now, this is actually speculative. Okay, I'll take you at face value on that. I'm not a very political guy. You know, I do what I do every couple of years. Do you think that if he weren't to, or if he were to, resign as the Speaker, do you think he would actually ever get reelected? You gave up, dude. I'm not going to vote for you. But wouldn't you think that would
be like if Congressman so-and-so resigned as committee chair from the Ways and Means Committee?
But you wouldn't put yourself in that Ohio voter's position. Well, he gave up the Speaker of the House. How trustworthy? How can I trust him if he actually gave up this higher position? Now, this is completely speculative. I just, if you're going to give up one, you might as well give up the other. You're not going to, and I know I can't speak for this as fact, but that's got to be something that's in the back of his mind. If I give this up, I'm not going to retain my seat.
Within the House of Representatives. It doesn't reduce his ability to do his job for the people.
Well, you will notice that.
But, you know, who knows? I mean,
you will notice that Sarah Palin hasn't been reelected as the governor of Alaska. She gave up. She gave up.
Like what he's doing now, he's resigning. That's one thing. But to say that she hasn't run for anything else either. She's not running. She retired, and Boehner is retiring too. I mean, to give up the speakership is not the same as to give up his seat. He is also giving up his seat.
How much do you want to bet that he's not going to rerun? Guarantee he's not going to rerun. Because he understands how much damage is going to be done to his party or his platform.
Not much.
Really?
There's not really any damage. Yeah, no, that doesn't equate to damage to the party. It's just that he's one out of 435.
No. His individual platform. How much damage would that do to his individual platform? He couldn't, if he actually gives up, that's going to do untold amount of damage to his platform if he wants to rerun. He's not going to win because people are going to say,
He's not rerunning. He's resigning. He's retiring for anything else. Speaker of the House is not the same as congressman. He's giving up his position as Speaker, and he is retiring as a congressman. Those are two totally different, things.
Okay, granted, I didn't realize that he was retiring altogether. Okay.
Yeah, that's what's going on. Is he's giving that up as well as retiring? He's not running anymore.
I didn't read that. All I'd read that he was just giving up his seat as Speaker of the House. I didn't read that. So.
Yeah, whole shebang. He's leaving the whole office. So I don't know if they hold a special the governor. This year, there is no... They're probably going to hold an election for a new...
Which is going to be really stupid, since it's only going to be a couple of months. Why?
No, it would be a year.
It would be the end of the year, wouldn't it?
He's leaving in October.
So it would only be till the end of the year. Yeah, okay, yeah, I got you. Sorry, wasn't thinking about that. Still,
It's a little bit of a waste of time.
Well, it'd actually be a waste of time for everybody involved, the voters, the people that are actually would be campaigning. I get what you're saying. You're right. It would be November 2016. And now that we have driven off the one person that has actually listened to our podcast, we could sit here and debate all night, couldn't we?
I could talk politics and religion all day.
So could I.
Those are my things.
Well, mine's more religion, but yeah. It was fun. You have to admit that whenever we sit down and actually have a good conversation, well, by default, a good conversation, whenever we sit down and just bullshit, we actually have some fun, don't we? And that's it for tonight, folks. I'd like to thank John, George, and of course, all of you for joining in on the conversation. Please make sure to like us on Facebook. You can find the links to our page and all of the other associated websites in the show notes. We're now live on iTunes. If you like us, please give us a rating, maybe even a good review. That always helps. If you want to support the show and any of the other projects associated with Rationality Unleashed Media, please feel free to donate via our Patreon page at www.patreon.com/rationalityunleashed. Because we post quite a bit of content, please make sure you set a monthly maximum if you don't want to go over a certain budget. If you want to make a one-time donation to RU Media, please use our GoFundMe page at www.gofundme.com/RU Media. Your support helps us with all of the hosting costs, equipment, and all of the other costs associated with producing quality content across platforms. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Atheist Podcast, a production of Rationality Unleashed Media, rationalityunleashed.net, or you can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/rationalityunleashed.